You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show, alongside my partner in crime, co-host Gino Camilleri. What's going on, man?
Not much. Good bye week.
Gotta be feeling good, right? After the Dallas loss and the Washington loss, a relaxing bye week.
Yeah, I mean, just when you thought you couldn't lose, you didn't realize how big you could win this bye week. Washington suffers an absolutely disgusting defeat to a battered Atlanta team. They lose four offensive line starters. They're looking very, very light at that position. I know they signed four guys off the street. Dallas, man, if I could have asked for a better game to watch yesterday, I don't think I could have got one. That was that played out perfect. It's exactly who we thought the Dallas Cowboys were.
And Washington.
Yep. It's exactly who everybody outside of Dallas thought the Dallas Cowboys were. It's great. This division is the Eagles to lose right now.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's what we've been feeling really all season. And Washington kept getting these scrappy wins to get to 5-2. And I've been sitting here, me and you, just on this podcast saying, like, that team just is not better than this Eagles team. And even at 4-4, this NFC East is theirs for the taking. And with the Dallas loss yesterday and the Eagles getting Dallas this Sunday, a Sunday night football, I am very confident heading into that game that the Eagles are going to win that one and take back control of this division, and it could not happen at a more perfect time. Getting Golden Tate in, getting Timmy Jernigan back, this Eagles team, you know, I think is ready for a run. And today on the show, what we're going to get into is maybe the one position that might not be ready to help in that run, and it is, no pun intended, the run game. And we're going to be talking about running backs today. Could the Eagles add a potential Amir Abdullah, who was just waived by the Detroit Lions? Why is Corey Clement struggling so much in the first half of the season? Is he going to have a bounce back in the second half of the year? How's the rotation going to look like the rest of the way, you know, with Deuce Staley and Doug Peterson deciding that committee approach, who's going to get more work? In the first half of the season, it was Wendell Smallwood. He's on pace to lead the Eagles in rushing yards, in carries, and receiving-wise, too, he's been more involved in the screen game than a Corey Clement. But, Gino, for the first segment, what I want to get into is Amir Abdullah, the Detroit Lions, the former Detroit Lion, a pick from Nebraska that they were really high on. And I remember, actually, the Cardinals, in their Hard Knocks, it was like the Amazon edition, All or Nothing, I think it was, with the Cardinals, the Hard Knocks, basically, of Amazon. They, I remember, in the war room, were upset that the Lions took Amir Abdullah, and instead the Cardinals had to settle, I guess, for David Johnson. So Amir Abdullah was very highly thought of coming out of Nebraska. He was waived from the Lions today. They love what they have in Kerryon Johnson. They have LeGarrette Blount. Theo Riddick is basically what Abdullah was supposed to be as that pass-catching back. Gino, I think, and me and you both agreed about this on Twitter, and I loved your response of get out of my head because we were thinking the same thing.
I was getting ready to tweet it right as you did.
Right. Yeah, we great minds think alike, and I think it's a perfect fit for the Eagles because, and again, he's not going to come in here and fix the backfield. He's not going to do what a Le'Veon Bell or a LeSean McCoy would have did if a trade were to have happened, or maybe a Tevin Coleman. But I would love to kick the tires on Amir Abdullah because I think he offers that speed factor, that home run hitting, you know, the big plays that you don't really get from Wendell Smallwood, who only has one 15-yard or higher rushing play this year. Corey Clement only has a couple. Josh Adams had a good amount against Jacksonville. He's really been your only source of big plays from the running back position, and you can't really rely on that with his size. So I feel like Abdullah offers something that the Eagles simply don't have, and it's not going to cost you much. I would love to kick the tires and bring him into this backfield.
Yeah, even if you picked him up off of waivers right now, he's still on his rookie deal. He only came out a couple years ago. So I know we were talking about it at the deadline that that's a guy that we thought we could get for a 6th, 7th round pick.
Now we can get him for free.
Literally get him for free. Just have to be, I think, 19th on the waiver wire right now? Yep. Just have to make it past 18 other teams to get him. And I think his name was tossed around because I do think Howie was interested in him because he knew he couldn't go out and get a Le'Veon Bell and he couldn't really get a David Johnson. I know that name was thrown around, or a LeSean McCoy. He was looking for lower level, not, I mean, talent wise and cost wise. And Abdullah was a name that many NFL names threw out that he could be a potential option for them. And I loved him coming out of Nebraska a couple years ago. He was a smaller guy. I like seeing smaller running backs that just have those legs that can just pump out runs and make guys miss that try to tackle him with their arms. And that's exactly who Abdullah is. He has that breakaway speed when he gets to the second level. Even though it's a little bit inconsistent, he had fumble issues, he does have that home run hitter ability that none of these Eagles runners tend to have. I mean, you saw the stat the other day that came out that Wendell Smallwood is currently facing the least amount of 8-man boxes in the NFL.
And yet he doesn't even have a run over 20 yards. I mean, he doesn't have a run over 20 yards. I mean, that's crazy.
And the offensive line has been playing well. Like, he's been getting blocks. If you go back, you can see the tape. There's wide open holes. These guys just don't have it. Like, Wendell Smallwood is, Michael Kiss said it best, he has the lateral agility of a dump truck. He just cannot get upfield. He can't put his foot in the ground and go. That's what Abdullah does. That's exactly who this kid is. He's 5'9". He's got a low center of gravity. I'm reading the analysis of the NFL draft back when they wrote up his draft profile, and it says finishes his runs, has NFL caliber burst, and can hit top speed quickly. Think of all the Eagles backs. Do any of them sound like that?
No, they don't. He is a niche in that backfield that they really, they just don't have that explosiveness, and he fits the theme of what they did with Golden Tate, bringing him in here, because what they do have on this offense is big body guys like Alshon Jeffery and Zach Ertz and Josh Adams in the backfield, and even Corey Clement, the way he runs is a more aggressive style sometimes, and Abdullah will add to that speed factor with Golden Tate coming in, that run after the catch, that rack yak kind of guy that I like to compare him to. I mean, even he's not by no means am I saying he is Christian McCaffrey, but he has that style of play where he can break a big play through the passing game or the running game. I looked it up in the two seasons where Abdullah was healthy, and that's the big part is him being healthy. The good thing is with the Eagles, he would be in probably a 4-man rotation, maybe a fifth, depending on what they want to do with Darren Sproles when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, I don't think you should be relying on Darren Sproles in any way outside of a returner. At 35 years old, he can't stay healthy. I don't think that should prohibit you from adding Abdullah. So I think that would help Abdullah stay healthy, is that he's not going to get a big workload. But just listen to this stat, Gino. I pulled this up. I did some digging because, I don't know, I just, when I thought of Abdullah and I was trying to find a comparison, who he would be for the Eagles, a poor man's what? And I feel like he'd be a poor man's Christian McCaffrey for the Eagles. In the two seasons where Abdullah really got a decent workload in Detroit, he had 12 plays of 20-plus yards in those 2 years of real playing time. Because this year he hasn't been used. He was hurt a couple years ago in that second season with Detroit. In Christian McCaffrey's first 2 years, and this year it's only halfway through, but it's interesting considering Abdullah also really hasn't played a whole lot in his career. Christian McCaffrey has 13 in about a year and a half. So Abdullah, 12 plays of 20-plus yards, that adds something to your offense that, again, in the backfield, you're not getting. You were getting that from Jay Ajayi last year and LeGarrette Blount and even Corey Clement, and this year you haven't had those explosive plays out of the backfield. So I think it's worth a shot to kick the tires. I don't think it's going to cost you a whole lot. If he goes unclaimed on waivers, I think that it makes you get even more incentive to bring him in because, you know, I feel like the Eagles might be an attractive option for him when he can come in, and I feel like he should want to compete with Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement and Josh Adams. He should think that he could get playing time on this football team, and Deuce Daly is a great advocate, and he's someone that is a good recruiting piece to bring in running back talent here.
Yeah, I think you said it best in that he should want to compete against these guys. It's, what are we, 8 games into the season right now? You're at a 4-4 record. These guys that are getting put on waivers like Bruce Irvin's and Amir Abdullah's are looking at situations where they can get 1, playing time, and 2, compete. And what team right now that's sitting in a playoff spot or just outside of the playoffs has a dire need for a running back, and a running back that can have explosive plays on both catches, get outside and outside zones, and hit some holes inside? Not many outside of Philadelphia.
Yep.
Philadelphia is a prime location where you lose your lead horse back a couple weeks ago in Jay Ajayi, and you've had 3 guys that have not been able to take the reins and take this as their own. I mean, Howie wouldn't have been picking up the phones if one of these guys solidified their role as the top back. But he was calling around because he didn't see it. And I don't think the coaching staff saw it. You saw it late in games that their Doug isn't as apt to run. He doesn't trust them as much. I mean, they were a Josh Adams fumble away from almost blowing that last game. So if you really want to compete and get on board with a team that is hitting their stride right now with guys like Tim Jernigan, Golden Tate, maybe Mike Wallace or Mac Hollins coming back, what better team to come to? And you know you're going to come to a fun environment. Everybody loves playing with Carson Wentz. So if you're Amir Abdullah, you have to be glowing to get this opportunity if the Eagles call, if you go unclaimed.
So me and Gino both in on Amir Abdullah to Philadelphia. Let's see what happens this week. We'll keep a close eye on that. But yeah, I would love him to come in and join that backfield with the Eagles. Coming up next in the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're going to stick in this backfield. We got to talk about Corey Clement, a guy that had a lot of promise from year one into year two, a Super Bowl hero, 100 receiving yards in that game against the Patriots. He struggled in the first half of the season. Me and Gino are going to kind of get into why he's been struggling. Do we expect a bounce back in the second half of the season? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we're sponsored today by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace. It's dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. They help fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience with the podcast code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON. Listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more if they are a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri bringing you today's edition of the show, Tuesday, November 11th. It's Dallas week, and we'll get into Cowboys week tomorrow on the crossover podcast with Locked On Cowboys. On Thursday, me and Gino will get deeper into the game, and throughout the week until that Sunday night football matchup against the Cowboys. And for now, though, today, what we've been talking about, the first segment, Amir Abdullah, we're getting into the running backs as Abdullah was cleared off waiver. He is on waivers right now. We'll see if he gets cleared. And we're talking about the prospects of Philadelphia maybe being interested in him because of the way the running back position has gone for this team this year, with Darren Sproles being injured and Jay Ajayi, two of the main three. You were coming in, you didn't bring LeGarrette Blount back, partially because you believed in Corey Clement as that number two behind Ajayi, and because you could bring back Darren Sproles. They really did prefer Sproles probably over LeGarrette Blount, because Blount's only making, I think, $1 million more than Sproles this year. But the guy that I feel like they let Blount go because of was Corey Clement. 100 receiving yards in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. He stepped up. Later, as the year went on and on and on, Gino, Corey Clement, an undrafted rookie out of Wisconsin, really just continued to get into his own in the run game and in the pass game, where we didn't really think he had that ability. Coming out of Wisconsin, no one thought he was going to be the Darren Sproles for Philadelphia when Sproles got hurt, and yet there he was. So this year we're coming in thinking he's going to have a bigger role in the backfield, a second-year jump. He was becoming one of my favorite players on the team, and he still is. But he has struggled so far this year, Gino. He has lost out that starting job to Wendell Smallwood, and he was the third guy in the committee approach last week against Jacksonville, where Josh Adams was getting more carries and Adams was producing more than Corey Clement. Why do you think Clement has struggled so much in the first half of the season?
This is the biggest conundrum of the Eagles season, I feel. This is one of those things that I just don't get where the regression came from. I don't know if he took off into the sun too quickly, like saw his success too quick and just thought he could be complacent in the position he was in, or it's just a lack of skill set that has just came back to earth. Like somebody, you look at Dak Prescott, who has an excellent one great season and then comes back to earth after that. Maybe that's it. I think he may have been banged up more than we expected earlier in the year.
He wasn't
and it's
really
led to his development.
So
yeah, I think it's led to his development. and everybody else catching up to him in that regard and him taking a step back. But even when he has the ball in his hands, he doesn't have that, like, you could – I just remember thinking back to last year when he saw a hole, he was one cut and go every yeah. time. And you could depend on it for certain that he'd pick up third and five or, like, a second and seven. Like, he was good for that. He had a good yards per carry last year, and he looked explosive in both the pass and the run. Mm-hmm. But you don't see it this year. I don't know what it is, and it's very – tough to see him go through this because you know he has that ability. In the Super Bowl, he was maybe another touchdown away, one cut the wrong way from being the MVP of the Super Bowl.
No, it's a good point, and the health is a big part of it. It is, but it shouldn't excuse it, because I went back on the All 22 today and went into all the games where Corey Clement had a decent amount of touches. And what I'm seeing so far, like you said, you made a great point about last year he was a one-cut runner. He was just he was going through the holes. In the receiving game, he was big. And while I do still think, I will give Clement this, he's been really good in pass protection this year, and he's been good in the receiving game when he's given the opportunity. The problem is that Wendell Smallwood has been chosen more as the guy they trust, not only in run situations, but in pass situations. I feel like Clement's been better in the screen game this year than Smallwood. I know Smallwood has a couple of receiving touchdowns this year, but I feel like Clement has made more of his opportunities in that area. But in the run game, I'm not seeing that one cut. I'm not seeing the decisiveness. I'm not seeing the confidence in the backfield. I'm kind of seeing the tippy toes where he's hesitating. And that's the problem, is there's these big holes opening up from this offensive line, and Clement a lot of the time is kind of dancing like LeSean McCoy, but then he gets caught doing that. He doesn't have the explosion to make more out of that than someone like McCoy did, where McCoy could miss a hole, but he could create another one and make a play out of nothing, where Clement just, he, like you said, talent, pure talent-wise, he just doesn't have that ability. I mean, he was an undrafted rookie for a reason, and I'm seeing hesitation before he gets up to the line of scrimmage. Another thing that I noticed as well is that he's kind of struggling to make the right decision when to hesitate, you know, when to be patient to let holes open up, when to make cuts, and when to just run through the hole. You know, there were a lot of times against the Giants, and I thought against the Jaguars, and even against the Colts earlier on in the season, where there'd be a big hole, and I'm just screaming, run through that hole, run through that hole, and he's dancing mm-hmm. a little bit, and he's making these, and he's a slow cutter. He's good at floating through holes. He's good at bouncing. Bouncing and cutting, there's a difference. I feel like there's been a lot of times where there was a perfect play against the Giants where Big V got blown up by Olivier Vernon when Jason Peters came off, and Corey Clement bounced to the right side of Vernon to angle it where there was a hole now diagonal of Vernon. So then he hopped back to the left side and he got upfield. But when he's just planting his foot in the ground and trying to make a cut, you don't see the explosion. And there's a lot of times where I'm saying, ooh, if he cut that to the right side, that's a 20-yard gain instead of a 5-yard gain. And then there's other times where he does make cuts, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? You had a big hole for a 15-yard run, and instead you only got 3 because you're trying to make more happen. So I'm just seeing indecisiveness. I don't like the decision-making he's made so far. But I will, to his credit, he's done everything else well. He's been really good in special teams this year. And I think it's tough to really get into a rhythm when you keep getting passed over for Wendell Smallwood. I think it's Wendell Smallwood has left a lot of meat on the bone so far in this run attack. And with Clement, he struggles, but you haven't really given him a big enough workload to let him try to work through that and kind of get hot in a game. Because even if he gets into a rhythm, they immediately pull him for Smallwood or Josh Adams. So I think some of it's the way they're utilizing him. I don't think they're utilizing him always in the right way. You know, with outside zones, he's not running a lot of those this year. But there are some struggles with him on the tape that doesn't have to do with health.
I agree 100%. He just has not been him same self. And that's the one frustrating thing I have with Deuce Staley, is that he doesn't let these guys get into a rhythm.
Yeah, I haven't liked the rotation this year at all, really.
Not this year. Last year you saw it early in the year. It was kind of like how it is now, that like you would give a guy a couple carries, he'd have a couple good series, then boom, out the next one. But then later in the year you saw games where Corey Clement would take over. You saw games where LeGarrette Blount would take over. You saw games where Jay Ajayi took over. They have to play this rotation like the Golden State Warriors play basketball. feed the hot hand. You see nights where Klay Thompson will go off and have record-setting three-point numbers. Then the next night, Kevin Durant will go out and he'll have a great night. Then the next night, Steph Curry, and everybody eats. One way or another, they all eat. But you just have to let them get into a rhythm. When, like you said, Corey Clement works best when he has a couple carries to get into a rhythm. He gets a couple passes. He gets involved into the screen game. He gets his feet underneath him. He finds his vision. And Wendell Smallwood's the same way. Once he finds his explosive holes, he finds the one-cut runs that he likes. He's good. They just haven't been able to do that because they pull them too early. And in this second half of the season, I really think that's what they have to focus on is finding the hot hand and sticking with the hot hand. They've done it a couple games this year, but not as much as you would like to see.
I thought they did a good job of it against Jacksonville with Adams, but I agree with you. There's been times where it doesn't matter who's the hot hand. They've just been going to Smallwood, and it's frustrating because, again, you saw the stat. What was the exact stat, you know, on Smallwood?
I think he's seen only 33% of his runs have had 8-man box, so that's one out of every three. Yeah. He was less than a loaded box.
And yet he has had
two out of every three.
And yet he's had one run of 15-plus. So, and look, Clement, again, he has struggled. But I went back and watched the tape against Carolina, watching the runs for Clement. And the majority of the time, there were linebackers, Kuechly or Thomas, were left unblocked up the middle, and they immediately got to Clement. Or the tackles have struggled. So I don't know if part of it, too, is that they haven't run the outside zone concepts that Clement thrives in. They've gone more up the middle with him this year, and really with the entire run game. I don't know if it was because of the instability at tackle so far throughout the year with the health of Lane Johnson and Jason Peters, and Peters really, they both struggled a lot in the first half of the season, so I don't know if that's why, too, they've been going away from it, but when I've seen positive runs from Clement, it has been on the outsides, where he can bounce and make cuts out in space more so than up the middle where he's got to plant his foot and go more. I think he's struggling with that. So, but you know, me and you both and a lot of Eagles fans, we were banking on him this year. We were. And with the situation they're in now, I don't trust Wendell Smallwood to be the one to carry this run game when this Eagles team gets hot. I mean, you look at the Rams and the Saints, they got Kamara and Todd Gurley, and we need to have at least someone to trust in this backfield, and if that's the hot hand, then it's just the hot hand each week. But they got to at least do that then, stick to the hot hand. If Josh Adams again next week against Dallas is averaging 5 yards a carry, then keep feeding him the rock. Don't put in somebody else. Keep giving Josh Adams the football. And I haven't seen Corey Clement get that consistency, get that opportunity to find the consistency.
Yeah, two quick things on that. I think you hit great on the point that they don't use Corey Clement enough on outside zone runs, but they use Wendell Smallwood more on outside zone runs, who excels more inside, but then they use Clement inside, who excels more outside. That drives me nuts, and I say it every game. Why do we run Wendell Smallwood to the outside? Why do we run Wendell Smallwood to the outside? He's very good north to south. Like, when he played at West Virginia, they'd line up a lot of the times. He'd be to the right of the quarterback. He'd get the ball and go directly upfield through the A or B gap. He wouldn't make cuts outside, and that's just who he was. You see big runs of Corey Clement at Nebraska. He's running to the outside and getting upfield. He's very good at that. You saw it a lot last year, and you've seen it at times this year. They need to get back into that rhythm. I think Mike Groh also pointed out a great point in his press conference the other day that he was asked, do you think adding Golden Tate will take some of the pressure off of the running game? Which he said, absolutely, because we can utilize him more in the short pass game to start to get that going as a running game, because they didn't really have a guy that could get involved in yak and make plays out of, like, behind the line of scrimmage. You know, they're always good for one throw behind the line of scrimmage that is for at least a 2 yard loss. They may be able to turn that into a big part of their play, like their matchups now, especially with Darren Sproles coming back. You get guys that excel in open space and can get yards after the carry. Once you get that going and get Carson into a rhythm, who is on pace to project to be an MVP, he's producing at a better statistical rate than Aaron Rodgers over the past 16 games. He is now currently tied with Matt Ryan for the longest quarter, for the only quarterback in history to go one touchdown and no more than one interception in, I think, 14 straight games. So if he does it against Dallas, he's going to set the record at 25 years old. Once they get Carson into a rhythm and get everybody else, into their niche roles, this offense is going to take off. It's bound to happen. And I think everybody sees it projecting that way, and Dallas is the time that they need to get it going.
I'm with you, Gino. Let's take one more break. We'll wrap up the show. Talk about how the rotation should go for the rest of the season. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, Louis DiBiase joining you once again, wrapping up today's edition of Locked On Eagles alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, let me run something by you real quick. Because Golden Tate is now in Philadelphia, will you approve of me calling him the Rakyat King for the rest of the season on the pod?
That was his self-earned name. He earned that name. He deserves every credit
I'm calling it. Go ahead. It's cheesy, but I'm going with it. I love the point you made at the end of the second segment, talking about how Golden Tate's going to open up this run game. And you talked about, I like the comparison of Golden State, go with the hot hand at running back. Is that what you think they should do for the remainder of the season? Is there a guy you would prefer to get the majority of the workload right now?
Well, after what Josh Adams did last game, you have to at least put him out there for a couple series in the first quarter. I think Dallas is a team that you could utilize his skill set with very, very well, because their defensive ends, they get after the quarterback, so they're gonna try to get upfield. You have to expose that interior of their defensive line, which right now, if you're without Lane Johnson, you don't want to run to the outside as much, so you're gonna have to utilize your three big bodies inside to clear space for a north-south runner. And if Josh Adams gets holes, he can make runs happen, and you saw that last game against Jacksonville.
And he's actually, for the big, bruising, LeGarrette Blount-like running back he has really quick footwork. I was seeing against Jacksonville some of the cuts he was making up the field and along to get to the outside and to get into different holes. I was really impressed with how fast he got into his foot, planting it into the ground and shooting out of it like a cannon. And he broke, I counted, against Jacksonville. He had 5 broken tackles down the field, and he had runs of 16 yards, 17, and 21. I'm really excited about him, and I hope that he can stay hot and they keep giving him the football. But to me, I want to completely flip the way the Eagles have been using this rotation. So they've been mostly going with Smallwood, Clement, and Adams. I want it to be mostly Adams, Clement, and then Smallwood. Smallwood, he'll get you. Look, if you need 4 yards, he'll probably get you 4 yards, and if you need 10 yards, he'll get you 4 yards. That's really what that's what Smallwood is, and he's always going to leave meat on the bones. And for how good this offensive line has been for the run game, I feel like Josh Adams has gotten the most out of that great offensive line play. So I'm really leaning towards him. I hope he keeps building off of it, because it wasn't just the Jaguars game. When he got significant touches week 3 against the Colts, he was really good and really efficient in that game as well, and he was in the preseason as well. Adams was good in the preseason, so when he's played this year with the Eagles, he has produced.
I agree, and you could go back and look at that Jacksonville tape and saw the holes that he was hitting, and You have to just impose your will against that Dallas team right now that's getting taken advantage of in most of their matchups. Like, you can beat that defense. They're going to be without Sean Lee. They're going to be without a sure-bodied tackler in the middle of the field. So what better way to get it going than a guy who can hit holes and get up the middle of the field and not usually get taken down at first contact? He likes to churn his legs and get extra yards, and that's something that I think this coaching staff really appreciates, that he's not going to go down at first contact. And not like any of these Eagles runners tend to go down at first contact, but Josh Adams, he's the biggest body you have, and he's got nice frame, he's got big, solid legs. Like, he will get you those extra yards. You need to give him the ball early this game. I would like to see Clement get involved in this screen game. I don't think any of their linebackers can cover him, so what better game to do it than against Dallas? And they'll still give him his chances, toss him in there when they're getting worn down. Just get a fresh set of legs in there. That's when he's best, is when he could take advantage of a team when they're on their heels. Like, if you get going into an up-tempo offense and start to get them on their heels a little bit, throw him in there for a play, like on 2nd and 6.
Right.
Like, that's when he'll work best. But I don't want to see him get more than 7 touches the rest of the year. Like, I'm just sick of seeing him run the ball. He's not going to be what they think that he was made out to be. And look, if you really don't trust what you have right now, go out and get a guy that can be a home run hitter and take a shot on Ameer Abdullah, or when Darren Sproles comes back, see what he can do. But right now there's not a surefire answer there. You hope the outside weapons in Golden Tate and the rest of the gang can open things up now. Bringing Darren Sproles back, hopefully bringing a Mike Wallace or a Matt Collins back to open things up, to stretch the field a little bit more. Hopefully it can start to open it up, because as you get into these late months, you're going to have to win in the run game. You see it. You said it best. You look at the Rams. You look at the Saints. Who won that game at the end? The team that could run the ball more, and that was the Saints.
Absolutely, Gino, and that's going to do it for today's edition of the show. Hopefully they go for an Amir Abdullah. I do want them to add someone else into this backfield. They're going to have to do it eventually, whether it's next year in the draft or in free agency. You ready for Dallas week, man?
I've been ready since they got put on the calendar.
Yeah,
there was actually on my time hop today, I took a picture of my dog 2 years ago with a beer bottle next to him after they lost to the Dallas Cowboys, because
that was
you just see his pouting face, and that was just the mood for all of us. It was the Sam Bradford year. They were on their heels, and they just went down.
Oh, the overtime game.
Oh, yes. Yes. No, not Sam Bradford year. I apologize. 2 years ago it was Carson. But Dallas game later in the year, and they needed to win it, and did not come out the way we thought.
Well, I think it's going to be a different story on Sunday, but myself and Gino will get into it tomorrow and Thursday and Friday as we'll preview Dallas week right here on the Locked On Eagles Network, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So again, that's going to do it for today's edition of the show. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. Check out all our stuff at LockedOnEagles.com, and you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, anywhere that you listen to your pods. We are up and available on those platforms. So for my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been Locked On Eagles. Thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.